Welcome to the Currency.News podcast. It pays to be curious.
Tommy Higgins is talking to me today in the Currency podcast about Tommy Gorman, their shared childhood and the plan for a sporting memorial in Sligo, the town they love so well and always return to. Just before the unexpected passing of its tireless advocate Tommy Gorman on June 25th, Sligo Rovers Football Club had delivered a detailed proposal to the government to build a multi-sport stadium. And I watched Tommy Higgins, an enormously successful international entrepreneur, who is the chairman of Sligo Rovers, lead a guard of honour at the funeral cortege for Tommy Gorman in Sligo Town. It was Tommy Gorman who inspired the recent visit to Sligo of Taoiseach Simon Harris, where he was shown the plans for the showgrounds master plan, a new multi-sport stadium to be built, it is hoped, in 2028. And it's to celebrate the centenary of the founding of Sligo Rovers. It is an extraordinarily ambitious proposition. The Sligo showgrounds would have a capacity of 6,200 cover seats in the stadium, a new grass-based hydro pitch that will also accommodate other sports and activities. There'd be a gymnasium, a club merchandising shop, meeting rooms and a museum dedicated to Sligo Rovers. And given Tommy Gorman's remarkable record as a media communicator, the stadium in Sligo will also meet the requirements for modern broadcasting. The Sligo showgrounds would be the first UEFA Category 3 stadium outside Dublin, Tommy. What does that mean?
Well, we'd be able to qualify for further levels of UEFA football games besides the first round. You know, so it'll be you have to have certain standards as you progress through the European League. So it'll be Category 3, which will be
very good. Who has it in Dublin?
Shamrock Rovers pitch there in Tala, that would be a Category 3. Yeah. And etc. That's a very good stadium.
Mm-hmm. So that's a big plan to go, but it's a very ambitious plan. Tell me, how many adults and children and so on are involved in this?
Well, in Sligo Rovers, there are 8 teams altogether between male and female, 5 male and 3 female teams that are involved. And then there's summer camps. It's a new,
from an academy there too, isn't it?
Oh, yes, that's all part of the academy. Yes, that would be the underage teams there that you would have part of the 5 teams, 5 male teams and 3 female teams.
How many will be involved?
Well, you can take this an average of maybe 25 per team, so what, a couple of hundred there. And then we have the underage, we call the Super Reds, which are for the young kids, and they come to summer camps and at Easter camps and October camps, and it's a hub of activity there all the time. It's part of the community.
Yeah, I think in the original proposals for the showgrounds 3 years ago, it was for 17 million, but it's up to 26.
Well, we upgraded everything, and this is what we want to prepare the showgrounds for the next 50 to 100 years. And to do it now is probably the cheapest time to do it. But then there was an increase of costs from after COVID for everywhere. So we're applying to the government for funds of 18 million, and then we'll provide the rest ourselves somewhere.
Yeah, I'm thinking there. I mean, would that make Sligo a more important, for the want of a better word, centre for soccer?
Well, you have outside to, Sam, of Dublin? You have to be ambitious.
Oh, yes, but is it? I mean,
we want to have a really ambitious stadium for the region. I mean, it's a northwest region in Sligo, and that's what we want to do. And I think that what we're doing is merited, and it's very important, and it's very important for the people of Sligo and for the whole region.
That's the region. But, I mean, would you be better equipped, say, than Galway?
Well, I think Galway may have their own plans. I'm not so sure, Sam, what they're
Except
doing.
We haven't heard of them yet.
I haven't heard of them yet. And we're just doing what we're doing. And, I got involved 4 years ago. I think Tommy Gorman was one of the people responsible for bringing me on board, because he's been apologising ever since for bringing me on board. And when we all sat down and we said, look, if we're going to do this, we're going to do it right. And we had a feasibility study. We got a grant from LEADER, and we had a feasibility study, and this is what came out of the feasibility study. This is what we had to do.
Who knew about Lader? Now, I wouldn't know. You don't go into your phone box and say, give me Lader on the phone, I need money.
They're a government organisation that help, you know, community-based
And did Tommy know about Lader?
Lader's well known, Sam. I think you'll have to get up to speed on that now, I think.
I'm not in that, but how influential was Tommy in getting the government to come on board behind those things?
Look, he was an extraordinary person, you know, both from multiple points of view, and he drove everybody along. I mean, he had so much influence as well, and he drove everybody along with this project, and he's a huge loss to us. But it's extraordinary. The day after that Tommy was buried, we had to submit the application last Monday for the government. So it was bittersweet, you know, putting in the application, and Tommy was buried the day before. But he kept driving us all along. Wonderful, wonderful person.
Yeah. I was just thinking about that, like coaxing the Taoiseach to visit Sligo was one thing, but you also got the tallest, Micheál Martin, ministers Catherine Martin, Heather Humphreys, and the new finance minister Jack Chambers. And of course, the sports minister too. I think so. How did you get all these people together?
Well, I think Tommy was responsible for most of that because he was influential, and they came down. They were very willing to come down and see our plans, and we made a presentation. I think it was important that you had all your paperwork right, Sam, and we a lot of detail went into this, and we have a very, very good subcommittee. Of people inside and outside the club that had various skills in putting all this together.
I was thinking about that and thinking that there are only two clubs in the FAI that are owned by the people in the organisation, that are owned by the organisation.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, ourselves and Bohemians. And I look sometimes with envy at Bohemians and their great colleagues of ours, but they have the backing of Dublin City Council, who are very, very well resourced financially.
I also suspect a bit of envy there too.
No. They're great.
They're a council and so on, and publicly owned. But if the rest are owned by individuals, are they? I mean, it's. I don't mean to be facetious, but is there a Roman Abramovich figure in the background anywhere there with money who could take the rest of those clubs and run with them?
Well, we like the community. Sligo Rovers is a community-based club. We love that model. I love the model.
Mm.
And there's something about it, Sam, you know, that I can't put my finger on it. But it makes an awful lot of difference when the people that own the club, and we go out selling tickets door to door for raffles. We do all sorts of fundraising. Extraordinary. I'm not so sure if you would do that if you had a sugar daddy involved. But we love the model.
You're a sort of people before profit for football.
I'll take that. I'll take that, Sam. But it's the model that we like. The people love it. And we want to keep it like that. It's difficult. It's very, very difficult, you know, to keep a club like that going, because the league is thriving at present.
All the way through this now, there's Tommy Higgins and Tommy Gorman. You spell your name T-O-M-M-Y. Tommy spelled T-O-M-M-I-E.
Yeah.
Only in Sligo do you get differences in spelling in the name Tommy, I suspect.
And we have another good colleague of ours there that's involved very heavily, Tom. So we have Tom and Tommy and two different Tommies.
How long has Tommy been pushing things in Sligo?
I'd say Tommy, like everybody else, has been involved since he was a little kid in football. We all came through from school days.
But now you knew Tommy in school. Then he grew up down the
street. I passed his house every day. I was only even a couple of hundred yards away from him. So we all knew each other. And then,
I mean, as kids, did you go to the same school? That sort of
thing? Yes, we all went to Summerhill College. And then Tommy went abroad. Then he was in Brussels for a number of years. But he was always home. You'd see him at the football matches and et cetera, But he had a passion for it that was, above and beyond.
And was he pushy?
No, he was pushy in the right way. He was just passionate. And he said, we have to get this development done or the club will die. And I could see what he meant, and he was absolutely right. And that came out when we looked at the feasibility study, when we did it. We had to do this. And we've been at it now for the past maybe 3 years, pushing this
project. Tommy was from, I think, a relatively modest background,
wasn't it? We're all from modest backgrounds. You're from Sligo back in the 50s and the 60s,
Well, was Summerhill College not a fee-paying college, was it?
At a very modest I was there. I flunked out after 3 years.
Yeah.
I couldn't make it.
Yeah, it's a thing. But listen, I'm just thinking about him there in Sligo, all the time returning home at weekends and so on.
But all through his life, Tommy believed in the town, the county, and, the whole neighbouring counties. And he believed that we deserved equal treatment like the rest of the country, And that's why, we were deeply involved in this project. And he drove the desire to see the development delivered. That's really what he was up to.
I also had a friend who was a journalist in Sligo, and he used to refer to all of you guys down there as Sligopaths. I don't know if you knew that, but he did. Paddy, who would know who I'm talking about. But he was there.
Paddy Clancy,
is it? You became now involved in one of the biggest... Well, the biggest ticket agency in the world.
I'm out of that now, Sam.
You were running this. You were in charge of Europe, the Middle East, and so on for Ticketmaster, which is the biggest one in the world. Tommy, at that stage, was he in?
He was in Brussels, and then he was in Northern Ireland for the last number of years. Until he retired 3 years ago.
And were you had an office in Dublin then, but you were constantly most weekends.
An office in Dublin and an office in Belfast.
You still lived in Sligo.
Yes, indeed. Yes. Yeah. Always lived in Sligo.
And so did Tommy. He returned each weekend.
Yeah.
You see him at the weekends then?
Always at the football matches.
Tell me, how did Tommy get such an address book? I mean, he was known to, I'm trying to think, presidents, politicians, prime ministers, members of the royal family. He had everybody's phone
number.
He
had so many families. He had a political family. He had his own family. He had a football family. He had the medical family. He helped so many people that had his old illness. Mm. And it was right up to the very last week he was helping out people. An extraordinary man and huge drive.
Explain to me about now his illness. Now, that was remarkable how he managed to get so many people in Ireland, help and treatment in Europe and so forth, didn't he?
But I really don't know. He was very private in other ways. You never knew what he was doing, And I know that he was helping an awful lot of people.
He was discreet.
He was very, very discreet and modest, And I think he was responsible for... He got his original treatment up in Sweden. Then he was responsible for getting that... That treatment is now available in Ireland. That wasn't available 30 years ago. Mm. And he was responsible for that. But you would never hear too much about what Tommy was doing in the background for those people. But I know he travelled around the country helping and looking after people.
Now, you must have known at least some of the people who Tommy was associated with. It would be among the most influential in politics, for instance.
Well, I was never part of the political people. I was a humble ticket seller, Sam.
I didn't
travel in that area. But
were you interested?
In politics, of course you're interested in politics. Yeah, global politics, of course.
Will yourself and Tommy not occasionally say, well, what about your man?
In conversations, of course you would have conversations.
And how good was he at that?
He was great. Well, I was involved in a monument in Sligo for the World War One, and I was the chairman of the committee that we brought it only last year, and Tommy said, look, we need to get the British ambassador, you know, to come to this event. And he got the British. He said, if you get the British ambassador, you get a lot more ambassadors. We ended up with 9 or 10 ambassadors. So that's the sort of the influence that he had, you know.
Yeah.
And it's always just one phone call. Yeah. He'd make a phone call and next thing he'd come back to you. This is done now. Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, in many ways, he was more than a journalist, wasn't he?
Extraordinary man. That's what I'm saying. All the different families that he had, and the different, areas that he covered in his life. And since he retired, he was, I'd say, busier than ever, because there were so many things he wanted to do. And I just, you know, I'd like to point out one. I think he was commissioned to write a book, and he came to me and he said, "Look, I'm going to take a year off to devote myself to Sligo Rovers and getting this project across the line." Because it was a huge task pulling all that information and getting the information for the submission to the government. And he took out that year and never got the chance to write the book, unfortunately.
Oh yeah, tell me, you saw him just a few days before.
Before he went into hospital, we were doing some tidying up. And of course, he gave us the checklist then, have you this done, have you that done? You know, that's the way it was, yeah.
Although it was, I think, meant to be a very routine procedure that he was going to get done, wasn't it?
I never, you know, Tommy would never say, you know, he's always, I'll see you in a few days. He's like, I'll be out of action for a number of days. I'll be back in action. But then the texts were gone the night before he went in for his operation.
It was a very impressive funeral.
He knew everybody, Sam. You know, he knew a very, very likable person. And we will miss him dearly. You know, we've lost a warrior for our cause, I think, you know, so.
Yeah, there was one thing I was thinking about there when you were just talking about that, and that is the sphere in Las Vegas. You said you were going to hope to go to there.
I missed it, Sam. I missed it last year for the U2. I was talking to you at it, but I hope to go later on in the year.
Who's there? The Eagles?
I think the Eagles are there and the Doobie Brothers might be on, so I'll hope to go to that.
Oh, you'll see that. Well,
One of the things that Tommy was great, he was promoting young players coming through the system, through the academy. Seamus Coleman from Everton, you know, he's the captain of Everton. Great player came through Sligo Rovers. John Kenny, that was he played for Shamrock Rovers at present. Our current captain came right through from Carrick and Shannon. Sligo Rovers is part of the region, and Niall Moorhan is our current captain. Came right through from the under-14s, and if I could just mention, Tom, people are concerned why Ireland are not taking part in the Euros and what's happening there, but we haven't spent enough money or invested enough money in academies in general. If you look at, let's say, Croatia, who are at the business end of all competitions in Euros, they were in the World Cup finals not so long ago.
And there's, 4 million of them?
There's 4 million, and they have 10 academies, but they have 190 people, staff, looking after those academies and coaches, etc. Ireland have 10.
Yeah.
A richer country, really, than Croatia.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You know, so we have to invest in academies. Mm-hmm. And in fairness to Thomas Byrne, he only a couple of weeks ago, he said, we have to look at that, and I hope he does deliver on that. Because if you're going to produce, look what they did with rugby. Yeah. You know, a lot of money was invested in coaching.
And do you think a lot of that was just good management?
good and investment. You know, you have investment.
Which
and,
is part and, of and the I was, investment.
And so has the GAA. You know, they've invested huge amount in infrastructure and coaching, etc. I mean, I was looking at the hurling last Sunday. It was extraordinary. You know, so you have to invest. And unfortunately, we have not invested in soccer as much as we should have. But
my association football is, if it's not the most popular sport in the country, it's not that far behind.
Well, I'm not 100% sure, but I think that more people play soccer on a weekly basis in Ireland than any other sport.
Including GAA?
Yes, more play it, yeah.
And how come it's so poorly looked after by the state and so on?
Well, I haven't got the answer for that, Tom. But I hope, look, in fairness, I think that Thomas... The Minister Byrne, he has looked at it, and only a couple of weeks ago he said we have to start looking at property of the academy. So let's see, he may have something in mind coming up to the next budget.
Well, the one thing I was thinking about there is the ambition you have for Sligo and so forth. Would you expect to see Taylor Swift there if you do get it opened in 2020?
No, too small, Sam, no.
Yeah, well, you did see her, didn't you, before?
I didn't see her on this tour. I saw her in London a couple of years ago. Remarkable talent, Sam. Yeah, remarkable talent.
Well, listen, Tommy, I want to thank you very much for sharing your thoughts on your beloved Sligo and, of course, Sligo Rovers and, of course, your great memories of the remarkable Tommy Gorman.
Oh, yeah. Sorely missed, Sam. And thank you very much for the interview. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Currency.News podcast. It pays to be curious.